Excellent. Calling for a hearing in the matter of the appeal by Crawford House LLC of the order of license revocation, license number 107-3328, 107-3329, 107-330, 107-6181, which is case number A23-0215. Would counsel for relator please introduce herself for the record and begin her argument?
Thank you, Your Honor. Andrea Neeson from Clampy Law Firm. May it please the court and counsel. This appeal follows the final order by the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Human Services revoking the license of the Crawford House. The Commissioner wrongfully determined that Minnesota Statute 245A, 0.04, Subdivision 7D required that revocation. We are here today because of two reasons. The commissioner misinterpreted a clear and unambiguous statute years ago, continues to misinterpret and misapply that same statute in this case, and that needs to be corrected now. And if the commissioner wanted to protect the public, that was to be accomplished through the background study process articulated in the statutes, whereby corporate license holders are notified, provided a fair opportunity to comply with the commissioner's wishes, and thereby not jeopardizing the corporate license. The commissioner failed to provide the Crawford House a fair opportunity to maintain its license. So this is how it all started. The applicable version of the statute provides, when a license issued under this chapter is revoked, the license holder and controlling individual may not hold any license under Chapter 245A for 5 years following the revocation, and other licenses held by the applicant, license holder, or controlling individual shall also be revoked. Here's what both of the parties concede is true. One, Nicholas Gao was the owner and controlling individual of Helen's Homes LLC. Two, Helen's Homes had its license revoked. Three, Helen's Homes must not hold any other licenses for 5 years following that revocation of Helen's Homes. Four, Mr. Gao, as a controlling individual of Helen's Homes, must not hold any other license for 5 years following that revocation. Five, Helen's Homes and the Crawford House had no legal corporate affiliation whatsoever. Six, Helen's Homes did not hold any of the Crawford House licenses. And seven, the only connection between Helen's Homes and the Crawford House LLC was that Mr. Gao was the controlling individual for both of those entities. What we disagree on, however, is the commissioner's assertion that a controlling individual must also necessarily hold any other license on which that individual is a controlling individual. It is our position that that is not true. First, the commissioner's interpretation would necessarily conflate or make the same the terms license holder and controlling individual under the statutes. Both those terms are separately defined in the statutes. They have distinct definitions. One holds a license if that individual is, quote, if quote, the individual organization or government entity is legally responsible for the operation of the program or services and has been granted a license by the commissioner under the chapter and the rules of the commissioner. Based on that definition alone, the Crawford House LLC was the only license holder. To say that a controlling individual also always holds a license would illegally expand that statutory definition of license holder. There's no ambiguity in the statute whatsoever. The
Counsel,
commission.
can you shed some light on the legal effect of what the commissioner did on August 30, 2019 in changing licensing information for Mr. Gao to make him license holder? Is that what happened? What is the legal effect of that action by the commissioner?
And I'm sorry, Judge Frisch, I'm not to make Mr. Gao license holder.
It didn't it, now, didn't the commissioner unilaterally change Mr. Gao's status?
I'm sorry. Yeah, in the record, it indicates that the commissioner unilaterally changed him to the manager based on the Secretary of State website information.
And what's the legal effect of that action?
Absolutely, Judge. So the legal effect is that he would be deemed a controlling individual. So the definition of controlling individual includes managers. It does not make him a license holder. It makes him a controlling individual. And then we get...
Now, is a license holder necessary? I mean, to be a license holder, does that necessarily mean that the commissioner must issue a license to a person or entity?
Yes, because under the statute itself, under the definition, it says there are two different criteria. First, the individual, organization, or government entity that is legally responsible for the operation of the program or services. That's criteria number one. Criteria number two is and has been granted a license by the commissioner under the chapter and the rules of the commissioner.
So in order to be a license holder, there has to be some affirmative action by the commissioner to bestow the license upon a person or an entity, right?
Correct.
And that, and as I understand it, the commissioner in this case has not done that with Mr. Gao in this context.
Correct, Your Honor. And
is it also the case that a license is not transferable?
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you. So we get back to the commissioner's interpretation of the statute, again, is wrong. The license of the Crawford House may not be revoked, the license that were held by the corporate entity, because it was the Crawford House, not Mr. Gao, that was legally responsible for the operation of the program. And the licenses, again, were issued to the Crawford House LLC, not Mr. Gao. Secondly, the respondent attempts to persuade this court that the commissioner's misinterpretation is necessary to protect the public, asserting, quote, a controlling individual with a prior revocation could also assume control of a different existing license providing the exact same services as previously revoked license.
That also, is. Could I stop you before you go into your next argument? And I want to direct your attention to section 245A04 subdivision 7D, which is where we start, right? And parent D says, except as provided herein, the commissioner shall not issue or reissue a license if the applicant, license holder, or controlling individual has, subparent 3, had a license issued under this chapter revoked within the past 5 years. So we agree that Mr. Gao is a controlling individual. It doesn't seem to be any dispute there. We agree that he had a license himself revoked within the past 5 years. What I'm wondering is, in D, when it says the commissioner shall not issue or reissue a license, my question is, to whom? Does that mean the commissioner can't issue or reissue a license to anyone associated with the applicant, license holder, or controlling individual? Or does it mean that you cannot issue or reissue a license to one of the following? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, but I would also highlight that the terms issue or reissue are different than revoke. So I think we need to start there, that the department during the initial hearing, the department's witness did testify that issue and reissue, so issue was issuing the license upon application. Reissue was something that was done on an annual or every so often basis. And then the revocation was something different.
Okay, so then this language that I'm hung up on, it only applies once there is a license, or when you're granting a license, or when you're reissuing a license. Once the license is revoked, we're down in this later paragraph, and we have to get into who hold that you can only then revoke the license of the license holder.
Absolutely correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
I have a question about the following paragraph, or the paragraph that begins when a license is issued. Are we in the same place?
Yes.
And the last clause of that paragraph says other licenses held by the applicant, comma, license holder, comma, or controlling individual shall also be revoked. Under your interpretation of the statute, is there a different scenario in which a controlling individual, a license held by a controlling individual, may be revoked? I understand you're saying not this case, but is there any case where that clause, that last clause, may operate with respect to a controlling individual?
Sure. I could envision a situation, for example, let's say Mr. Gao was the same situation, license revoked. He is the owner of Helen's Homes. He also operates a daycare out of his home. That's a licensed daycare, right? He is the sole proprietor of that. That he could also have revoked because it's another license that is held solely by him. In this situation, however, the license was held by the corporate entity, the Crawford House LLC. And members are distinct. Members of an LLC by statute, by law, are distinct of that corporate entity. So it doesn't apply in this case, but there could be circumstances where it would.
In other words, if he's a... Okay, I think you've answered my question. Thank you.
Thank you.
So your suggestion to us is the way we read this is there can be a revocation under 245A04 sub 7 parent 1 parent 3 based on a prior revocation, but you can only revoke the license that's been granted, and Mr. Gao wasn't granted a license, therefore you can't. Yeah, well, try it this way. The license was granted to the corporate entity, and the corporate entity had never had a revocation, so you couldn't revoke that license. You would agree, though, that if the license had been granted to the corporate entity and the controlling individual, Mr. Gao, under this statute, under your interpretation, the department could have revoked Mr. Gao's license if he had one.
Let me clarify that, Judge Larkin. So,
I made that worse.
No, that's okay. If the license had been granted to Mr. Gao, if the licenses that were held by the Crawford House were not held by the corporate entity, but were rather held by Mr. Gao himself as a sole proprietor, then yes, I do agree that those licenses could be revoked. But here they're held by a corporate entity, and that's the issue. And I would also say that Mr. Dietrich did raise the issue that this statute has been recently amended, and now it says what the commissioner wanted it to say in the first instance, and would allow further revocation, allowing discretion for the commissioner in certain circumstances. But the statute, the version of the statute at issue here, does not allow the revocation of the corporate entity, the Crawford House's licenses.
Does this become moot under the language of D? Because how often does a person have to apply for reissuance of a license? I've got the impression from the briefing it's about annually. If that's the case, and now you're starting in the first paragraph of D when you're talking about reissuing, can you then say, and I know that's not the issue here, but under your read of the statute, could the argument then be made, well, we're not going to reissue this license because the controlling individual, Mr. Gao, has had a license revoked within the past 5 years?
It does not become moot. And again, this issue is not before the court, but it does not become moot because Mr. Gao is no longer associated with the Crawford House. He's not a controlling individual. He was removed from the Crawford House. And so all of that paperwork is in the record. It is on file with the DHS. And so
you say that he's been removed, but my recollection of the findings from the ALJ are ALJ doesn't really believe that. I mean, he's married to the person who's running this. Do we have a record that say he's really been removed? I think that's the county's concern here.
We do have that paperwork that has been filed. I mean, his status of marriage, I mean, they haven't divorced. We don't have that, but we do have a record that he has been removed from the corporate entity, yes.
Okay. And that's not the issue that's before us, but let's just say, though, so I understand, let's say he hadn't been removed, he was still identified as the controlling authority. Would the state then be able to say, we're not going to reissue this license because the person who's your controlling authority on paper has had a revocation?
I would say yes.
I'm just talking hypothetically, not yes. This case, yes. Hypothetically. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Thank you.
I see your time is up, as you noted. You'll have some time on rebuttal. We'll now hear from counsel for Minnesota Department of Human Services. Would you please introduce yourself for the record and proceed with your argument?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel, my name is R.G. Dietrich. I'm an assistant attorney general, and I represent the Department of Human Services. Your Honors, this is a simple case of statutory interpretation. The Department of Human Services, and until this case, every administrative law judge. Oh, yes, Your Honor, do you have a question?
Oh, yeah. And it would help me if you could confirm for me that the department's ultimate position is that the statutory language is unambiguous and you're arguing for a plain language interpretation. I understand in your brief, you provide other arguments should this court agree with that, but I just want to clarify that the department's position is there's no ambiguity. The statute is clear.
Yes, Your Honor, that is the department's position.
Does it further your position that under the plain language of the statute as it existed in this case, it doesn't matter that Mr. Gao was not, I should say it this way, your view of the statute is that Mr. Gao was a license holder because he was affiliated with the actual license holder?
No, Your Honor. I agree that Mr. Gao does not meet the definition of a license holder as that term is defined in 245A.02. Crawford House was technically the license holder. The department's argument is that under Minnesota Statute Section 245A.04, Subdivision 7D, that last paragraph, that a license, when a license under that issued under Chapter 245A has been revoked, the license holder and controlling individual may not hold any license under Chapter 245A for 5 years following the revocation, and other licenses held by the applicant, license holder, or controlling individual shall also be revoked.
That to apply on its plain language, we would have to be of the mind that Mr. Gao is a license holder.
No, Your Honor, I don't believe so. The clause repeatedly uses the terms hold and held in connection with a controlling individual, indicating that they do not limit the licenses that must be revoked to those of the license holder. The clause also says other licenses held by the controlling individual. That language, modifier other, in other licenses held by the controlling individual, indicates that the controlling individual for purposes of the clause must be considered to hold the originally issued license. Otherwise, there's no reason to use the word other to distinguish between licenses held by the controlling individual.
How does a person count as a license holder if they've not been granted a license?
Your Honor, the statute doesn't say that only licenses of the license holder must be revoked. It says only that the individual may not hold any license and that other licenses held by the applicant, license holder, or controlling individual shall also be revoked. Again, under the clause, the word other, especially in other licenses held by the controlling individual, indicates that the controlling individual is considered for purposes of the clause to hold the license. Otherwise, there's no reason to use that word to distinguish between licenses held by the controlling individual.
Well, isn't it possible that a controlling individual could be the person who was granted the license, as Mr. Gao was in the prior case? He was a license holder. He was the controlling individual.
Your Honor, in the prior case, he was not the license. He was the controlling individual. Helen's Holmes was the license holder. And Crawford House concedes that by virtue of his status as a controlling individual on the prior license, the department cannot reissue or issue the license at the very least. So, Your Honor, again, the clause at the end of 245A.04 subdivision 7D does not specifically require that the license that's revoked based on the prior revocation be the license of the license holder. It says may not that the controlling individual may not hold any license under Chapter 245A following the revocation, and the other license held by the applicant, license holder, or controlling individual shall also be revoked.
And, am I correct, Mr. Dietrich? It's your view that Mr. Gao is a controlling individual with respect to Crawford House, and that he also held or holds the license that was issued to Crawford House?
Yes, Your Honor. For purposes of this clause, that's true.
Even though the license does not bear his name. I mean, the license is issued on its face, uses only the word Crawford House as the licensee, correct?
That's correct.
I think you heard my question to your opposing counsel about that last clause in the last paragraph of 7D, about when that under the respondent's view, excuse me, the relator's view, when that clause would apply to a controlling individual. And she answered by saying, you know, if there's another license where, you know, that the license is actually issued to the person in his or her own name and so on. So is Ms. Neeson's and relator's interpretation, is that interpretation of the statute a reasonable or unreasonable interpretation?
Your Honor, under the plain language of the statute applies any time a controlling individual has had a license revoked within the last 5 years. Then the statute requires revocation of that license.
But what Ms. Neeson is saying is that in this situation, Mr. Gao is a controlling individual of Crawford House, but does not hold the license that was issued to Crawford House. That clause would only apply to a situation in which there's a third license involved, let's just say, you know, in which the license was issued in the individual's name. Would you agree that the statute would apply to that situation as well?
I would agree that statute would apply to that situation as well, yes, Your Honor.
But not only to that situation.
But not only to that situation, correct.
Well, it seems to me that just speaking for myself, that relator's interpretation is a reasonable interpretation of the statute. Why am I wrong about that?
Well, Your Honor, if you believe that relator's interpretation is a reasonable interpretation of the statute, then I would submit that the statute
What I'm asking is, do you want to talk me out of that? Or can you, is there a way that you can tell me that convinced me that relator's interpretation is not a reasonable interpretation?
Yes, Your Honor, I disagree. The department does not believe that relator's interpretation is a reasonable interpretation. Again, because the statute repeatedly refers to the controlling individual holding a license, held a license, and the statute uses that phrase, other licenses held by the controlling individual, indicating that the controlling individual is considered to hold the originally revoked license, and thus other licenses on which that individual is a controlling individual. Sorry,
let
yes,
me
Your
try
Honor.
It this way. The most persuasive argument I saw in your brief is that the definition of hold or held includes somebody who has control over something. So under that definition, you could have a person to whom the license has not been officially granted, but they have control over the subject matter. So that's your argument. My question to you is, why do we need to look at dictionary definitions of held or hold to resolve this case when we have a statutory definition for license holder? And that statutory definition says, an individual, organization, or government entity that is legally responsible for the operation of the program or service and has been granted a license by the commissioner under this chapter and the rules of the commissioner. Do we agree that Mr. Gao has not been granted a license by the commissioner under the statute as it pertains to Crawford House? At
agree with.
best, under your theory, he has control over the license that has been granted to Crawford House, and you're equating that control with being a license holder. Is that your argument?
I agree that he does not meet the definition of a license holder in that 245A.02.
Well,
My
if he doesn't meet the definition that the legislature has given us, why would we look to other dictionary definitions to try to bring him within the statute's reach?
Because the statute doesn't say that the commissioner can only revoke based on a prior revocation the license of a license holder. It uses the word hold and held. And in the way it uses those terms, it equates them with a controlling individual, indicating that for the purposes of the clause, the controlling individual can hold the statute. And the clear
Let me
intent
ask
of, yes, Your Honor.
this. So that last paragraph says when a license issued under the chapter is revoked, the license holder, we'll take that out, and controlling individual may not hold any license. So my question is, does Mr. Gao, as the controlling individual, hold any license? And to answer that, I look at the statutory definition of license holder. What does that mean? It means, in part, someone who has been granted by a license of the commissioner under this chapter. And when I put that all together, as the ALJ did, I reached the conclusion that, well, Mr. Gao, even though he's a controlling individual, we're not confronted with a situation where he is holding a license. He doesn't hold a license under the definition of license holder.
Your Honor, I would
And
respect.
I know you disagree, but I'll just give you a chance to address this. The fact that the legislature changed the statutory language by adding words to say a controlling individual affiliated with the license holder or something to that effect tells me that that wasn't clear before. And to get to your interpretation of the statute, words need to be added to make it clear that the subject of the complaint doesn't have to be the person to whom the license was granted. That person can merely be affiliated with the holder of the license, and that's good enough to revoke. So how do I come to the conclusion that the statute clearly says you can revoke based on the controlling individual's prior revocation, even though the controlling individual is not the licensed holder?
Your Honor, again, I just go back to that language, other licenses held by the controlling individual. What other license held by the controlling individual could that possibly refer to if it's not referring to the original license held by the controlling individual that was revoked? And so I don't believe that that language can.
I think it could refer to a situation where you've got a controlling individual and they're involved with many facilities, as Mr. Gao was. Mr. Gao was involved in a couple of different facilities. So those could be the other license. In other words, if we don't want this controlling individual involved with Crawford House, we don't want him involved with other facilities. So couldn't those be the other licenses held?
No, yeah, I think in the context of the statute, other licenses means additional licenses. And so there's no other license referred to that the controlling individual held unless the controlling individual held that originally revoked license that the subsequent revocation has to be based on. And the clear intent of the statute is to prohibit an individual who's already been determined ineligible, essentially, or unfit to hold a license to act or act as a controlling individual from continuing to do so.
Let me ask it this way, counsel. Is it true that only the commissioner can determine who may hold a license? In the first instance, the commissioner makes the decision who may hold a license, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, the commissioner issues
Okay.
are.
When did the commissioner determine that Mr. Gao held a license?
Your Honor, again, I just go back to the language of the the clause, which does not limit the license that must be revoked to those of a license holder with a prior revocation. It uses the word.
That's not my question. The statute says the control, the license in the revocation paragraph that we've been talking about, the license holder and controlling individual may not hold any license. You just told me that only the commissioner can decide who may hold a license. So my question to you is, when did the commissioner decide that Mr. Gao held a license?
Your Honor, the license was issued to Crawford House LLC. Mr. Gao is the controlling individual of those licenses. He was basically in sole charge of those licenses because Tiffany Proud, the only other controlling individual, repeatedly told the department that, yes, Your Honor?
And given all that, please answer Judge Fish's question. And at what point in all that did the department make a determination that it's okay for Mr. Gao to hold the license, even though they did not specifically issue him a license?
Your Honor, the department didn't issue a license to Mr. Gao. I agree with that. If I could just briefly, I see I'm out of time, so I will just
Judge
ask
Lark.
The court to please affirm the commissioner's order.
Judge Lark and
Johnson has a question, and he may ask it, of course.
Thank you. Mr. Dietrich, I'm looking at your brief, page 12, which is the beginning of your argument, and you drop a footnote to say that under the Braylock sort of characterization of whether an amendment to the statute either is a clarification or it makes substantive changes, you say, and I guess I would say maybe you would concede or admit that the amendment did make a substantive change that may not be applied retroactively. And that's, you know, that's to be distinguished from a clarification. That seems to me inconsistent with your argument that the plain meaning of the old statute is the same as the plain meaning of the new statute. I mean, it almost seems to me like your statement, your admission that the amendment made a substantive change, should cause us to believe that now that the old statute has a different meaning than the new statute. Could you please address that issue?
Yes, Your Honor. So the referral, what I was referring to when I said the amendment made a substantive change, wasn't the change to this particular paragraph, the paragraph of when a license issued under this chapter is revoked under Clause 1 or 3. It referred to additional changes under that allowed the commissioner in certain circumstances to not revoke a license in that situation. And so because there were additional changes that would potentially affect this case, I believe that those were substantive and that it would be that you couldn't, under the case law, apply this statute retroactively to this situation.
It seems like your answer assumes that the entire either section or subdivision has to be either be applied retroactively or not as a whole, rather than, you know, looking at particular amendments to particular paragraphs. Is that your assumption?
Yes, Your Honor. I mean, if the court believes that it could just look specifically at the language of that statute, then I believe the court could say that this was a clarification and not a substantive change that could be applied retroactively.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would just ask that the court affirm. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now hear a rebuttal argument. And I would ask if counsel for Relator could start with the point that Judge Johnson is asking about. In other words, was the statutory change just a clarification? And should that lead us to believe that we're not only dealing with people for whom the department has decided a license should be granted?
Thank you, Your Honor. I will do that. So the change to the statute takes effect as of July 1st of 2023, and it does make distinct substantive changes to that statute. It states, it says, each license affiliated with each controlling individual shall also be revoked. It is reading in exactly the words that are necessary to get to the conclusion that the commissioner wanted in this particular case. But then if you look at the new section E, the paragraph under that change, it also says the commissioner may elect not to revoke a license affiliated with a license holder or controlling individual that had a license revoked within the past 5 years if the commissioner determines that the license holder or controlling individual is operating the program in substantial compliance with the applicable laws or rules and the program's continued operation is the best interest. That would be the case here. And I'm sorry, Judge Larkin, go ahead.
So I think your argument would then be, this isn't merely a clarification. This is sort of an expansion and then a grant of an exception. These words do a lot more than simply clarify what's there.
Exactly, Your Honor. Exactly. So the law was distinctly different at the time of this case and could not be retroactively applied. And I again, would like to go back to Judge Johnson's question to Mr. Dietrich as far as the interpretation of the statute. I mean, this is a reasonable interpretation, and it highlights the fact that the Crawford House had no notice whatsoever that their corporate license was in jeopardy. I mean, the reading of the statute was that licenses that were held by Mr. Gao would also be revoked, but not a third party license, not some unaffiliated organization's license. Thank you. I have no further argument. I'm happy to answer any further questions, but otherwise we would just simply ask that the decision be reversed so the license is reinstated.
I do not see any additional questions for you from the panel, so we will conclude the hearing at this point. Thank you for your arguments and briefing. The matter is submitted. You'll have our decision within 90 days.
Thank you.